waiting for me to come for him.
You might never find him, you know that.
Sometimes I think all the moments of our life occupy the same space, so the future already exists and is just waiting for us to arrive.
Listen.
So that we may have appointments to keep in the past, too. So we can go there and find people connected to us on the far side of time. I've also been thinking of Marie de Vernet.
Ah.
We met in this city, in Paris. I told you?
You mentioned it.
It was during my stay as a student. I used to study every day at the old Bibliothèque Nationale in the Rue Richelieu.
One of these days, I was staring out at the tall windows in the building opposite, when tears came into my eyes. She must have noticed. She was working at a nearby table, and later that morning she sent me a note.
Would you like to join me for coffee? Can I ask, why were you crying?
Buildings have that effect on me, sometimes.
Really? How interesting.
Not buildings. I don't mean buildings, or sometimes, I don't know, a window? A particular shaped window, for example, with a half light behind it.
And that'll set you off?
Yes, it might.
Gosh, you're very sensitive, aren't you?
Am I? Yes, I suppose.
How about kittens? Do they ever upset you?
Ah, I see.
Good. I'll have a peppermint tea, I think. Vanilla ice cream, there. Oh, wait, I'm going to have a white wine, there. Final decision. You don't think I'm indecisive, do you?
Not at all.
Well, I am.
In that case, I think you are.
Well, you've got a cheek. We've only just met, and already it's pick, pick, pick.
I'm sorry.
I'm joking. Joking.
Ah, I see.
I'm going to have to take you in hand, aren't I?
She used to tell me stories, her voice calming me as we walked.
I once went to a paper mill in the Charente. It's one of the strangest places I've ever been to.
In what way?
It's an enormous building, almost cracking under the weight of its own beams, and hidden almost amongst the trees and bushes on the bend of a river. And this river has water of a deep, almost unnatural green.
Why was it strange?
Wait a minute. It's run by two brothers, one with a squint, like this, and one with a crooked shoulder, like this.
Is this...
What?
Is this true?
Of course it is. What are you saying to me?
Hmm?
If I'm boring you...
Please!
So together, these brothers turn great masses of soaked paper and rags into clean sheets of paper, which are then dried on the racks of a large airing loft. But this is the point. Though it is always twilight inside, you can see outside, through cracks in the blinds, the light of day. And always, for as long as you stay there, you can hear water running gently over the weir outside, and the heavy turning of the mill wheel. And at such moments, you wish for nothing more than eternal peace.
This was so typical of her, without speaking about herself at all. When she told this story, she revealed her innermost being to me. She often said things which I've never forgotten. For example, we once visited a run-down zoo together. We came across a group of fallow deer gathered around a manger.
Oh, take a photo. Oh, take a photo of them, please, Jacques. They're so beautiful. They're looking at us. And we, their human opposites, are looking at them too. Both of us across a sea of incomprehension.
A sea of incomprehension. Isn't that wonderful? A woman who eschews cliché. It's quite rare, you think?
Probably unique.
She spent every other weekend with her parents in Compiègne. And when she was away, I got anxious. I walked, I explored the outlying districts. I took lots of photographs, images of emptiness like my own. And one unusually oppressive Sunday, I stepped inside a museum of veterinary medicine.
Oh, what on earth for?
I don't know. Inside, I passed from exhibit to exhibit. They're innocuous at first. Plaster casts of the jaws of different rodents, kidney stones removed from circus camels.
And then I enter the room where they keep the exhibits of malformed monstrosities of every conceivable kind. Shrunken hearts, bloated livers, calves with two heads, and a human infant born with its legs fused together like a mermaid, and other truly horrific creatures, consisting of little more than a scrap of skin, a crooked wing, and half a claw.
Why didn't you get out?
I did. Onto the street, and then down to the metro. I collapsed.
Jack? You're awake.
Where am I?
This is a hospital. You're all right now.
What happened?
You've been in a coma. 3 weeks.
No.
They didn't know who you were, but in the end someone was bright enough to look through your notebook where they found my name. Brilliant. I came straight away. It happened near the Bastille. Do you remember anything about it?
There was a gypsy playing an accordion.
And
a Chinese woman, yes. Yes, she had a very thin face.
Right.
Everybody was staring out of the windows.
It's all right.
There was nothing else there but these reflections of faces.
You felt unwell.
I couldn't breathe. There was this pain in my chest, tight. I thought, well, here it is. I didn't mind dying. That wasn't the problem. Marie, that day, I saw the armies of the unredeemed.
What do you mean?
They were everywhere. They were lying on the ground, trying to dig their way out with their bare hands, their fingernails clogged with earth. They were suffocating down there.
Jack.
They were imploring me to help them. But what could I do? What could I do?
Okay, it's all right. Shh. I'm here, Jack. I'm here now. It's over. It's over.
We resumed our walks in the parks. She gave me a book.
What book?
Something her father had lent her.
They're fables, sort of.
Thank you.
Which contain charms. You'll find a world where things can be healed. It's hard to describe. It tells you how to distill medicines from oils and essences.
I don't know what I need, Marie.
You'll see. You'll see. You will learn how pale and dark rose leaves can dispel melancholy, and how peach blossom and March violets soothe the soul.
And?
It helped me. I imagined a better world, and slowly, I came back to myself.
And now?
I've been working.
Where?
In the new Bibliothèque Nationale. It's hideous, a monument to that pharaonic French president. I'll take you there.
But you say you found nothing.
It's proving useless. To pass the time, I've begun reading the novels of Balzac. There's one called Colonel Chabert. You know it?
I don't.
He's a hero, a general, who receives a blow to the head in a battle, and they think he's dead, and they throw him in a pit full of cadavers. But he isn't dead. And years later, he returns to Paris, only now he's a gaunt old man. I am Colonel Chabert, he announces, who was killed at Eylau. He recounts that while he was in the middle of that pit, covered in dead bodies, he believed he could hear their groans, the groans of the dead. And years afterwards, he still hears them. Which makes me think my suspicions are correct.
What suspicions?
That the border between life and death is thinner than we think. Come on, I'll show you something. This is it. The new Bibliothèque Nationale. What do you think?
It's bleak, isn't it?
In these desolate concrete towers, the treasure chest of all literature, as they call it, resides. And And how do you like the pit between them? The trees and bushes protruding out of it, I presume, are there as evidence of nature. They look to me like they're trying to escape, to crawl out of this place. The man's vanity and alienation has imprisoned them. Are you all right?
Oh, yes.
You look...
What?
I've nearly finished.
Go on, then.
This library was constructed on what used to be the wasteland between the marshalling yard of the guard Austerlitz and the Pont Tolbiac. And until the end of the war, there was an extensive warehousing complex here. It's where the Germans brought all the loot stolen from the Jews of Paris. They needed the entire Pantechnicon fleet of the Paris Union of Furniture Removers to do it.
Many French people went along with the robbery. Bankers, insurance agents, the police, transport firms, landlords, the caretakers. They employed over 500 experts working in 14-hour shifts to put the goods coming into the depot in proper order and sort them. More than 700 train loads left Paris for the ruined cities of the Reich. And the most valuable items, nobody will admit to knowing where they went. The secret is buried here beneath the foundations of our President Mitterrand's Grande Bibliothèque. To this day, none of it has been returned.
My visit ended at the Gare d'Austerlitz.
I think my father left Paris from this station.
Do you?
I came here during a train strike the other day. It was eerily quiet and empty. I was wandering around. I saw a scaffold with iron hooks, and all over the platform there were plucked pigeon feathers. I felt I'd chanced upon the scene of some unexpiated crime. There were dark stains on the floor, of axle grease, probably. I don't know what any of this means.
Perhaps it means nothing.
I've discovered that my father was interned.
Where?
Somewhere in the Pyrenees. He'd have left from here, you see.
So you're going to continue looking?
I have to.
And Marie?
I'm sorry?
Well, you said you were going to look for her again.
Well, you think I should?
I've no idea.
Listen. Here, this is the key to my house in London. Use it. You can use it any time you like.
Thank you.
I mean, only if you want to. You could look at the black and white photos I've taken. They'll be all that's left of me soon.
The past is a hole that never ends. You drop a stone into it, it never reaches the bottom. Find Marie.
Yes. Yes, sir. I will.
When you get to London, he said to me, ring the bell at the gate in the wall next to my house. A man will let you in, he said. For behind that wall, although I have never been able to see it from my house, he said, there is a plot of land where lime trees and lilacs grow, and where members of the Ashkenazi community have been buried since the 18th century. I believe it is this cemetery which is the source of the moths that fly up into my house, he said. I walk around this garden now, looking down at the fallen headstones, some half covered in thick brambles, others lying fully exposed to the weather. And I recall one last story he told me before he said goodbye at that station in Paris. He said that one day he was walking with Marie in a half-deserted area near the Gare d'Austerlitz. In one of the empty spaces not far from the station, they saw the small and much repaired tent of a travelling circus.
Come on, let's go in.
You want to?
Come on!
So they went in, just as the performance was coming to an end. He remembered there was a conjurer in a dark blue cloak standing in the middle of the little ring.
Oh, do you think he really did that? Cockerel from his hat.
Oh, yes, certainly.
Oh, what's this? A band's coming.
Ladies and gentlemen, the family Vasti.
And in they marched, he said, in single file, the family Bastiani. The two dark-haired parents and their beautiful children. And each child held an instrument, he said, and played it. While at the back of the line was a small boy trying to keep up. He was carrying a lantern and was followed by a white goose. And the family played such music, Austerlitz said, he'd never heard before. And he said that as he listened to this music, he could not tell whether his heart was contracting with pain or expanding with happiness. All he knew was that sitting there with Marie, he never wanted it to end. And then Marie stood up.
Oh, Jacques, aren't they wonderful?
She looked down at him, he said, with her penetrating eyes, and held out her hand. And to his surprise, he took it and stood up with her, and they stepped into the ring and followed the family Bastiani as they marched from the tent, as though drawn, Austerlitz said, by a power they could not resist. And when I think of him now, my friend Austerlitz, I see him marching in line behind a small child carrying a lantern and followed by a snow-white goose until he disappears from my sight forever.
In Austerlitz by W.G. Zabelt, dramatised by Michael Butt, Austerlitz was played by James Fleet, the narrator by Stephen Greif, Marie by Amanda Drew, Agatha by Morven Christie, and Maximilian by Timothy Watson. Dovan Dwivor played Austerlitz as a young man, and Callum Guest, Austerlitz as a child. Deborah Findlay was the older Vera, and Emma Powell, Vera as a young woman. Margaret was played by Poppy Miller, Elias by David Sibley, and Evan by Michael Elwin. Austerlitz was produced and directed by John Taylor and was a Fiction Factory production for BBC Radio 3.
Christmas on BBC Radio 3. And a work that no Christmas should be without, Vaughan Williams' Fantasia on Christmas Carols. It's part of a feast of English music for Christmas from the BBC Singers and the BBC Concert Orchestra. Radio 3, live in concert, Wednesday night at 7:30 here on Radio 3.
And that'll be presented by Christopher Cook. Well, it's now just after 18 minutes past 10, and many apologies for the fact that we're running quite late this evening on BBC Radio 3. That's because of our earlier live Christmas Around Europe programme. Julian Joseph will be here in an hour's time with this week's jazz lineup, but before that, the first of two editions of World Roots recorded on location. Here's Moshe Mourad.
I'm in Athens, and this week and next here on World Roots, I'll be meeting and recording some of Greece's finest musicians. Tonight, I'm just outside of Athens in the port of Rafina to record a gig by one of Greece's best-known singers, an artist loved throughout Greece and the Greek diaspora, Glykeria.
Τα ψεύτικα, τα λόγια, τα μεγάλα. Μην κάπως με το πρώτο σου το γάλα. Μα τώρα που ξυπνήσανε τα φίδια, εσύ φοράς τα ριχαία σου στολίδια και δεν θα κρίζεις ποτέ σου μάνα μου Ελλάς. Τα παιδιά σου σκλάβους ξεπουλάς. Τα ψεύτικα, τα λόγια, τα μεγάλα, πες με το πρώτο σου το γάλα. Μα τότε που στη μοίρα μου μιλούσα, είχες ντυθεί τα αρχαία σου τα λούσα και στο παζάρι με πήρες γύφτισα μαϊμού. Ελλάδα, Ελλάδα, μάνα μου καημού. Τα ψεύτικα μου τα πες με το πρώτο σου το γάλα. Μα τώρα που η φωτιά φουντώνει πάλι, εσύ κοιτάς τα αρχαία σου τα κάλλη και στις αρένες του κόσμου μάνα μου Ελλάς. Το ίδιο ψέμα πάντα κουβαλάς και στις αρένες του κόσμου μάνα μου Ελλάς, το ίδιο ψέμα, το ίδιο ψέμα πάντα κουβαλάς.
Πόσα εγκλήματα έγιναν στο όνομα της Ελλάδας.
Γλυκερία accompanied by traditional instruments such as bouzouki, lafta, darbuka, kanonaki, kanun, and a guitar played by Kostas Fotiadis, the son of Γλυκερία and one of Greece's leading music producers, Stelios Fotiadis. Over the next 2 weeks, Kostas is my guide here in Athens. Hi, Kostas.
Hi, Moshe. Nice to see you again.
So you're going to take me to some amazing places here, amazing musical places, I'm sure. But I want to ask you first about the song we've just heard, Mana Mou Ellas, My Mother Greece, sung by your mother, Glykeria, which is one of the most powerful and emotional songs in Greek music ever, I think. What are the lyrics about?
Okay, first of all, this song is from the music of the album Rebetiko by Stavros Xarhakos. It has a political sense to it. It talks about all the big lies and the big words that have been told to the public by politicians, by people ruling Greece. It also says that as times are getting harder, these people become more pretentious, but Greece as an entity never backs down and will be okay at the end.
We're going to hear much more from Glykeria and this special concert recorded for World Roots later in the program. Well, Kostas, the advantage of you growing up meeting all these musicians is that you can actually take me during the next 2 weeks to meet them, to their homes, talk to them, record them. Who are we going to meet?
Yeah, these guys are like family to me. On this week's program, I'm going to take you to meet Manolis Karandinis. He's the best bouzouki player in Greece and maybe in the world. And next week, I'm going to take you to meet Mr. Lazaros Koulaxizis,
wow.
one of our best accordion players.
Who is 75 years old and still plays. I heard him many times. It's amazing.
Almost 80, I think. But yeah, he still has the stamina for it.
And next week as well, we're going to meet one of the only, if not the only, remaining singer of Rebetiko, Mario. Rebetiko is one of the main reasons I'm here, Kostas, and we are going to hear a lot about it in the next few weeks. In one sentence, tell me about Rebetiko.
In one sentence, Rebetiko is the Greek blues. It's very specific and very important to Greek people and basically expresses all their pain and suffering throughout the years.
So let's start our trip in exactly the kind of venue in which Rebetiko would first have been performed. So it's evening in Athens, raining a little bit. We're in Phidiou Street in the center, in a very nice small cafe. Kostas, you brought me to this cafe to hear music tonight.
Yes, I myself came to this place a week ago. I didn't know of its existence, and I met the owner's son, Christos, young guy.
Well, it's all young people here. I mean, this is the nice thing, because the music we're listening to is very old. Traditional Rebetiko stuff, the Greek blues. I mean, Rebetiko started in Cafe Society, in the Ottoman cafes, Cafe Aman, the way they used to call it. And now this kind of revival, we see all these cafes with young people around.
Yes, the music is beautiful. It might be a small place, but the atmosphere is amazing from what I can see. From what I know, they're going to be performing live later on. The owner, yeah. The father, will play the piano, and Christos, the young guy, is playing the bouzouki or the guitar, I'm not sure. Like I said, a week ago I came here to have a coffee. Just out of the blue, I was walking by and I saw it and I came in. He told me we play music almost every night and we're having fun. It might be small, but there's a good atmosphere and we go till morning.
When do they start playing the music?
A couple of hours from now, yeah.
Ah, okay, 10:30. So we've got plenty of time. What do you want to order? An ouzo?
No, let's have a coffee.
Okay.
Θέλω να μεγαλώνει,
Midnight here in Café Fadiou, and I'm here with Stratos, the owner of the café. You've been probably living with Rebetiko for many, many years, but now you see your son singing with you, and you see all these young people.
My
How do you feel
now
about
in
it?
Son and daughter and father.
And you had yourself, when you were in your son's age, you told me, you had a Rebetiko group here in Athens.
When I was 27, we have a very famous Greek group, Arriergarde.
And now you play with your son. Your son is the same age that you were then. It's very interesting to see all these young people here. The cafe is full of young people singing, dancing, clapping hands to this really old music. How do you feel about it?
Joy.
Does it surprise you?
Not anymore.
When they hear the music,
they
you
know
feel that
every song, every text, every word of the songs. They sing it together with us.
And the songs, what are the lyrics of the songs about?
About the life of the poor people, immigrants, about love, about women. And
a lot of social protest in the Rebetiko.
Yeah, of course.
And do you think it maybe fits in with what's happening today in Athens?
Always.
Now with the economic depression, do you think there's place for Rebetiko?
I played a song like that. Apsilias. I want to marry a girl, but I have no money to do it. How can I tell her I'm broke? And when I have 1 or 2 days job, I'm going to marry her.
So Rebetiko from the 1930s and 40s suddenly become relevant again in Greece today. Until what time are you going to play tonight here?
We play 4 hours minimum.
Minimum 4 hours.
With 5 minutes interview. In the
break, which is just break. Now when I'm talking to you outside. So you're going to go back and play another 2 or 3 hours?
Of course,
until
of course.
3 o'clock in the morning?
Until 2 or 3 o'clock. Today was very noisy. When it's very noisy, it has money. But when it's quiet, you really enjoy it. When you have money, you don't enjoy it. When you enjoy it, it's 10, 20 people.
That's the blues. That's exactly the blues. What the blues. And the Rebetiko is the Greek blues.
Of course it is.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
live rebetiko music in Cafe Fidiu 2, one of the music cafes here in Athens. And I'm here with exactly the right person to ask about rebetiko and about Greek music in general, record producer, researcher, editor of the most important music magazine here in Athens, Stelios Eliniadis. Let's start with rebetiko. This is something we keep hearing and we'll hear a lot about in this program.
It's very interesting how it started, rebetiko. It started as part of a subculture before the Second World War, in the 30s especially. It was unique because before that, mainstream music in Greece was something lighter that was coming from Europe, because it was a new state that was trying to find an identity. They had music already which was very important, but this was the traditional music from the mountains,
yes,
you know, from the villages. But there was a very strong need to create something that was Greek and could express the feelings and the needs of the common people, you know. Just think that in the 20s, 40% of the population of Athens were refugees from Asia Minor, and they had their own culture, and they came here and they brought something very strong, and it was not only music, but still it was something that came from another place which was created under different conditions in Asia Minor. So still there was the need to create a music that was local in the new Greek state and society. And this is rebetiko. From 1830s, when the Greek state was formed, there was always an effort on many levels to create the new Greek identity. And I think that the first people who managed to do it in a complete way are these musicians.
The rebetis.
You know, yes.
So in fact, music in a way was the pioneer of bringing all Greeks together.
Definitely.
What happened after this period? Because obviously there were a lot of historical changes and traumas in Greek society.
In 1936, a dictatorship took place here, Metaxas. And Metaxas forced the musicians to change their subjects. So by changing their subjects, rebetiko was forced to be transformed in order to survive. Then we have the Second World War, which was very destructive for Greece. But after the Second World War, things were still very bad. There was also a civil war. At the same time, there was a feeling in people to rebuild their life, you know, to start from zero. And music again played a very important role, because music expressed this feeling, this need of the people. And music transformed itself, but became mainstream. Of course, society has changed since the 30s, but rebetiko proved to be very resistant, that it was not connected only to a certain period of time, the time that it was created, that it could express the needs and the feelings of the people in contemporary times.
The bouzouki is the instrument most closely associated with Greek music.
Yeah, it's certainly prominent in Greek music,
and
yes.
And you just brought me into one of the most important bouzouki stores in Athens, and yes, manufacturer.
Yes, this is the store of Mr. Matsikas. He actually manufactures his handmade bouzoukis in his other store in Mesologi, but this one is his Athens store, where they keep everything and they sell everything.
Well, let's go in and see and hear some bouzoukis. Here we are in the bouzouki store.
Yeah.
Okay, we inside the lift in the store, so downstairs they sell the instruments. Now we're going to go up to the bouzouki palace.
Apparently the second floor is the traditional instrument section, okay, where we can see the bouzouki and everything else related.
Wonderful display of bouzoukis, all kinds, all sizes. What's the normal size of standard bouzouki?
This is the normal size. Mm-hmm. We have a medium size.
Which is about what? It's about a meter and...
One. Yeah. It's called Zuras.
Mm-hmm. Zuras.
It's also six string, old style.
Yes. Three sets of
double strings. We
have two
versions of bouzoukis. We have the six string and the eight string. The six string is the oldest, the first one that was produced. It is mostly used for traditional songs. Mm-hmm. And the eight string is for more solo out.
Can we hear the sound a little bit of the three string and the four string?
Just for the record, I am not a bouzouki player.
Okay, Kostas, we just want to hear the sound. Don't worry, we're going to hear some amazing bouzouki players in this program. As we said, it's four sets of double strings, eight-string bouzouki,
yes,
which is used for solo music. And bouzouki is associated, in fact, with rebetiko. It started from rebetiko.
The three-string bouzouki was very, very popular in rebetiko. It's different tuning to the four-string. In three-string bouzouki, you have what we call an open D tuning, right? Mm-hmm. So this is all open string.
Yeah.
And it was very helpful, because most of the rebetiko songs are on this key of D.
Yes. It's a very typical sound of rebetiko.
Exactly. This three-string bouzouki is set up especially for rebetiko.
And it's used for accompanying the singer, really, more than just a solo.
It's essential for many types of Greek music, mm-hmm, like laika music, rebetiko music. Even in traditional music, you can hear it, although it's not the prominent instrument. Right. But when we're talking about laika and rebetika, you really can't have this music without a bouzouki. It's naked without the bouzouki. Thank you.
Yes, Manolis. So nice to be here. I mean, we are in the flat of musician, composer, and astonishing bouzouki virtuoso from Athens. You were born in Athens, and many, many claim you're the world's best bouzouki player. I agree with them. So thank you. Manolis, the bouzouki, you started playing it 40 years ago?
Εφτά. Από 7 χρονών, είμαι 46 τώρα.
Almost 40 years. He started playing...
32 χρόνια, 32 χρόνια.
Since he was 7, it's 32 years now.
Yeah. You played with all the big ones in Greece. This piece we heard was of Xarchakos.
Xarchakos, Petra την Petra.
It's called Petra την Petra, which is translated stone by stone.
Παίζει ο Ζαμπέτας.
You're from Athens, you were born in Athens, you live in Athens, you obviously travel a lot and appear all over the world. What is the scene in Athens here now for bouzouki? Do you have like a young generation of musicians discovering the bouzouki tradition and studying?
Δυστυχώς στην Ελλάδα, και επειδή η Ελλάδα είναι το μόνο κράτος που δεν εκτιμά τη μουσική της.
Unfortunately, in Athens and in Greece, because as Manolis is saying, Greece is the only country who doesn't appreciate its own music.
Όπως και είναι η Ελλάδα, όπως λέμε, τρώει τα παιδιά της από... Πώς λέγεται αυτό, τρώει τα παιδιά της.
He's using an expression that we say here, that Greece eats its children. It's metaphorical, of course. Yes.
Σήμερα τα καινούργια μέσα ενημέρωσης...
Modern radio stations of our times don't support the bouzouki music as much, and it's as if they make an effort not to play bouzouki music.
Διότι... Έτσι μπορούν, έτσι...
And Manolis says, as bouzouki is the most authentic Greek instrument, he feels there is this kind of war going on between people who want the bouzouki to keep on going, people who try to do it, and more modern radio stations or producers who are kind of in an unspoken war against the bouzouki tradition.
Yeah, it's a very interesting situation, but it's global, it's international, it's happening all over the world with traditional music, and with this kind of conflict between keeping the traditional and trying to become part of a global culture. Is there like a revival? Do you feel like very young musicians are now coming even from rock and from other areas, discovering their roots, or are they going back to their roots and trying to learn, like guitarists moving to learn bouzouki now?
Τουλάχιστον παρηγορηθούμε αν υπάρχει άλλο.
This is comforting, he says.
Πάρα πολλά παιδιά υπάρχουν, όπως και στην ξένη μουσική, και στην ελληνική μουσική, και στο μπουζούκι, που υπάρχουν ταλέντα, πολύ μεγάλα ταλέντα. Ευτυχώς υπάρχουν ταλέντα πάρα πολύ μεγάλα.
Yes, luckily there are children who want to play the bouzouki, and we have a lot of talent here that Manolis knows of as an expert, and this is a very happy event.
So there's some hope for bouzouki, and of course Manolis, with his wonderful music and compositions, is part of keeping the heritage and taking it forward. What is the next piece we are going to hear?
Τους Αρχάγγελους, το χώρο τους Αρχάγγελους θα παίξω. Θα παίξω ένα του Στέλιου του Ζαφυρίου.
He's going to do a piece by Stelios Zafiriou, who Manolis says was the best session and studio bouzouki player that ever existed in Greece.
And again, in this piece, he's accompanied by Dimitris, a young guitar player. I want to talk a little bit about the instruments, because the instrument that you play, Manolis, is one of the most beautiful bouzoukis I've ever seen. Is that made especially for you?
Ναι, αυτό μου το έχει φτιάξει, μου το έχει κάνει, έχει γίνει, μου το έχει κάνει ο Παναγιώτης ο Στάμκος.
This bouzouki is by a person called Panagiotis Stamkos from Thessaloniki, who designed it especially for Manolis, size-wise, radius-wise, and also all the engravings and
it's beautiful.
The drawings
it's
on it.
Mother of Pearl. And the guitar is also a very special guitar. It's 70 years old, I think.
Η κιθάρα είναι 70 χρονών περίπου, 70, και είναι μία από τις κιθάρες που είχε παίξει ο Καζαντζίδης αυτή.
Okay, this particular guitar is indeed 70 years old and is one of the guitars that Stelios Kazantzidis used to play on.
Wow.
And that Manolis has collected and kept.
His spirit is here in the room and he's painting on the wall. Let's hear the music. Thank you. Stelios Eleniadis, we've been talking earlier on. You told me the wonderful story of Rebetiko, its story and history. And our next stop is a concert especially recorded for World Roots by one of Greece's main stars, Glykeria.
I like Glykeria very much because Glykeria comes from a very small village in northern Greece. A village that was formed by and inhabited by refugees from Asia Minor. And she grew up there, and she knows very well the traditional Greek music that was sung in the villages at that time, and also Smyrnaico. So when she comes to Athens at the age of
about 19, 20 years old. She comes here with a very good knowledge of these two main currents of Greek music, traditional from the villages and Smyrnaiko.
When we're talking about Smyrnaiko, it's very Oriental or even Arabic influenced music, as it comes from Izmir, and it's one of the roots of Rambetiko.
Part of it is not. The difference is that the Greeks in Asia Minor, they had a very long tradition, of course, since the ancient times, and they formed their music. But at the same time, this area was very multicultural, because Greeks were living along with Armenians, with Jews, Turks. Everything is so well integrated into Smyrnaiko that it is another form of music.
So Glykeria, thanks to her popularity and her hits, in a way reintroduced some of these traditional forms to a younger audience.
She did. And also Glykeria has a very great appeal with people from other cultures, you know, what we say foreigners, like in Israel or like in Finland. I've been to Finland with Glykeria, where there are only 100 Greeks all over the country, you know. But Glykeria is extremely popular between the Finns.
How would
which
you explain
is a completely
that?
Different culture. Because with Jews, I understand, we all belong to Eastern Mediterranean, you know, we have common things. But with the Finns, no.
So here we are, about an hour before the gig starts, in Rafina, in a taverna. We're surrounded with food here. Glykeria, Stelios Fotiadis, her husband, and one of the biggest music producers in Athens here. How are you this evening?
I'm fine. I'm very happy to be with you.
Glykeria, I remember about 20 years ago, when I first came to Athens, taking a taxi from the airport. It was the old airport, so it was a short drive. But he had a cassette on, and I loved it. I didn't want him to stop when he arrived, and I asked him, what was it? And then he told me the name Glykeria. 20 years later, we're sitting here. You had a long career. You started your career in Athens here.
Yes.
How did you start?
Ξεκίνησα από διαγωνισμούς τραγουδιού. Πολύ νωρίς.
Her first appearance was on TV, on a talent show.
Μεγάλες ευκαιρίες για την πορεία αυτή που έχω μέχρι.
Her big opportunity to become famous came about when she met her husband, who was already involved in the music scene.
The people love me from the traditional songs, mm-hmm. from the Smyrnaika.
Smyrnaika, which is from Izmir originally,
plays, yes.
in Turkey.
Όπου οι Έλληνες ζούσαν κάποτε καλά με τους Τούρκους και γράφαν ωραία τραγούδια και τα λοιπά.
When back in the day, Greeks and Turks used to coexist in peace, making beautiful music together.
I've seen you before in clubs here in Athens, and the shows last like for 4 or 5 hours. And then eventually people dance yes. there on the tables. Yes. And I always wanted to ask you, this tradition of throwing flowers on the singer, doesn't it disturb you as a singer when you've got flowers thrown on you?
Sometimes, if it's not...
if the gesture is not polite.
It's not, yes. It's not good, because it's danger. Sometimes must do the eye, you know. But sometimes the people give to the hand, you know.
Yeah. I saw many cases where they actually throw
if
the flowers on.
They are happy, yes. like that.
Has the financial crisis affected the music scene in Greece? Maybe Stelios can answer this. Stelios
yes,
Fotiadis,
Stelios,
one of the moguls of the Greek music industry.
For sure. But the music crisis became before the financial.
Yeah, so you have two crises now, the one of the music industry in Germany.
Start from the street piracy, start from internet piracy, downloadings and everything. It's not only Greek phenomenon, it's global. We have crisis, but we have enough food,
yeah, food for, we have the music
for the moment. Yes, we had Big Lamp with all the engineers, the producers, the singers, the musicians, and now we're gonna play some songs for you.
Well, here in the
Yeah, arena. Here, yes, just for fun.
It's a warm up.
Yes, let's warm. Okay?
Yes.
But yeah.
Στο βράδυ καρικαλάκι είχες βάλει το οργανάκι και γλεντούσες με ένα αλάνι κάτω στο πάσα λιμάνι. Ζηλεύω, άιτε καρικλάκι, πως με γέλασες, άιτε γεια σου, μου την έσκασε. Yeah.
άιντε χαρικνάκι, πως με γέλασες, άιντε γεια σου, μου την έσκασες. Οπα! Σημαίνει η εξουσία. Πάμε! Καλώ τον Δημήτρη Κανέλο. Όπα, όπα. Μια μέρα θα το γράψει ιστορία που έδιωξα από την Αθήνα τα θύρια. Βασίλους και βουλευτάδες, τους κερατάδες και τους μασκαράδες, που έδιωξε βασιλείς και βουλευτάδες, τους κερατάδες και τους μασκαράδες. Όπα! Και στην άμυνα εκεί όλοι αξιωματικοί. Ένας που αυτός θα φέρει τέλος και ο κάθε πατριώτης θα μας φέρει την ισότηση. Δεν πολεμάει κι ο Βένις. Ένας που αυτός θα φέρει τέλος και ο κάθε πατριώτης θα μας φέρει την ισότηση. Στο πλευρό μας δείχνει το δρόμο στον νέο στρατηγό μας, τον ήρωα της εθνικής αμήνης, που πολεμάει και διώχνει τους εχθρούς. Τον ήρωα της εθνικής αμήνης, που πολεμάει και διώχνει τους εχθρούς. Έλα! Πόρτης αμήνησα, παιδιά, διώξανε το βασιλιά και του δώσαν τα βραγιά του για να πάει στη δουλειά του, να περιδρόμω να τρώει με το ξένο του το σόι. Και του δώσαν τα βραγιά του για να πάει στη δουλειά του, να περιδρόμω να τρώει με το ξένο του το σόι. Έλα, έλα, όπα, όπα. Θα θυμηθούμε και τον Ευγένιο Σπαθάρι. Γεια σου, οικογένεια! Έλα να δεις παθιά και για τα γάνια, βγάζουν φλόγες και φτάνουν στα ουράνια. Εκεί ψηλά, ψηλά στα σύνορά μας έχει ποτάμι το αίμα του εχθρού. Εκεί ψηλά, ψηλά στα σύνορά μας τρέχει ποτάμι το αίμα του εχθρού. Τις αμήνες τα παιδιά, τι διώξανε το βασιλιά. Τη Σαμίνη στο καπέλο έφερε το πενισέλο, τη Σαμίνη στο σκουφάκι έφερε το λευτεράκι. Τη Σαμίνη στο καπέλο έφερε το πενισέλο, τη Σαμίνη στο σκουφάκι έφερε το λευτεράκι.
World Roots was presented by Moshe Morad and produced by James Parkin. There's more music recorded for the programme next week at the regular time of 10 o'clock on Sunday evening here on BBC Radio 3. And you may like to know that you can be in the audience for the launch of the 2013 World Roots Academy, as well as the announcement of who will be in the scheme and which country it will focus on. There'll be live music from Colombia and special guests. For the chance to obtain free tickets, please go to the World Roots pages of the Radio 3 website or call the BBC Ticket Unit on 0370 901 1227. That phone number once again, 0370 901 1227.
Two Third Symphonies by Brahms and by Karol Szymanowski. One, an evergreen classic long in almost every orchestra's repertoire. The other, a sensual and mystic work now developing a cult following among music lovers. Brahms and Szymanowski, the London Symphony Orchestra and Valery Gergiev. Radio 3 live in concert, Tuesday night on BBC Radio 3 at 7:30.
And that's presented by Martin Handley. Well, the time now on BBC Radio 3 this Sunday evening is exactly 19 minutes past 11, and many apologies for the fact that we're running quite late. That's because of our earlier live Christmas Around Europe programme. We will be joining through the night, a little later than advertised, at about 10 to 1, just in time for that Brahms Piano Sonata, the second item in the programme. Before that, it's Jazz Lineup with Julian Joseph.
Hello, the Jazz Lineup Swing Club doors are open.
Night and day, you are the one. Only you beneath that moon and under the sun.
Jamie Davis and his group performing at Georgia Mancio's Revoice Festival. And we hear items from Georgia and Jamie a little later. Who is this legend?
So there was something about Coltrane's presence. The way he played the horn, the energy, the way he could lift up the audience, lift up the listener.
It's Jack DeJohnette, who we interviewed just before his recent London gig. All that on this week's Jazz Lineup. Let's begin with the new CD from Arnie Somerji and his band. It's called Scenes in the City and celebrates the music of Charles Mingus. This is Somerji's bass on the Haitian fight song.
Thank you.
Bassist Arnie Somogyi paying homage to master composer and bassist Charles Mingus with the Haitian fight song. Somogyi has brought together a strong cast of musicians that featured the alto of Tony Kofi, and Jeremy Price on trombone, Mark Edwards was on piano, Alan Barnes on multiple reeds, and nicely completed with the drums of Clark Tracy. Japanese pianist Hiromi has a new album out called Move and continues in the fusion vein she's established over the last decade. She starts in rhapsodic mood on this piece called Rainmaker.
Thank you.
Japanese firecracker pianist Hiromi and Rainmaker, with original fusion masters Simon Phillips on drums and Anthony Jackson on the electric bass. The album is called Move and out now on the Telarc label. Well, from one energetic and imaginative artist to another, this time in the form of vocalist and impresario Giorgio Manzio. The Revoice Festival, which has now become an annual event in the London Jazz Diary, is Giorgio's creation, and Jazz Lineup were there to record both Giorgio and American vocalist Jamie Davis. Here's Giorgio Manzio with guitarist John Paricelli on Alone Together.
Is as deep as the sea. Our love is as great as a love can be. Alone together, beyond the crowd, above the world, we're not too proud, for we're together, we're strong as long as we're together. Alone together, the blinding rain, the starless night, we're not in vain. And what is there to fear together? Our love is as deep as the sea. Our love is as great as a love can be. And we can weather the great unknown if we're together alone. Together alone, alone together, be all go on the crowd. Above the world, we're not too proud to cling together. We get strong as long as we're together. Alone together, the blinding rain, the starless night, we're not in vain. For we're together, and what is there to fear together? Our love is as great as the sea. Our love is as great as a love can be. And we can weather the great unknown if we're alone together. Alone together, beyond the crowd, above the world, we're not too proud to cling together. We're strong as long as as we're together, alone together. The blinding rain, the starless night. We're not in vain, for we're together. And what is that affair? Together. As great as a look of can be, and we can weather the great unknown if we're alone together. If we're alone together.
Thank you so much. Thank you. This is a beautiful Italian song that was written by a great singer-songwriter called Giorgio Gaber. I unfortunately was brought up in Croydon, but luckily for me, it wasn't a cultural desert because I have Italian parents who are very, very cultured. So I used to wake up in the morning. It wasn't ideal on your way to school, but anyway, Mahler Symphony No. 5 was what I would wake up to. And that was my dad. And to balance it out, my beautiful mum, who's here right next to me, she had the good sense to play some a bit lighter, Italian pop from the 60s. So, of course, when we used to go to Italy and, you know, make friends as a teenager, all I knew was 60s pop songs and nothing trendy at all. So anyway, this is one of those songs, rather than Mahler No. 5, which would be a bit difficult for us to pull off, I think. So this is really all about someone who's, you know, either lost their love or, you know, they've had an argument or something's gone wrong and they're roaming through the streets at night. Maybe it could be the streets of Croydon, I'm not sure, but so it's called Le Strade, oh, it's Milano, okay, that's better. It's called The Streets at Night, Le Strade di Notte. Anche i miei pensieri di notte mi sembrano più grandi e forse un poco più tristi. E perché non c'è in giro nessuno? Voglio correre a casa, voglio correre.